When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Date Night Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Russell, and with me is my co-host, Ashley Russell.
Hello.
This is a show where on each episode, Ashley and I, we talk about a new movie that's playing in theaters, and then we break it down whether we thought it was good or bad and whether or not it would make for a good date movie. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson as the Caped Crusader. But before we get to that, we got to tell folks to check out our feature film, Tiny Dancers, which is streaming right now on Amazon Prime. Because, you know, there's a lot going on in the world these days, and we could all use a laugh.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's exactly what our movie delivers. So if you need a break from all the serious shit going on in the world today, check out our film, Tiny Dancers, which you can watch right now on Amazon Prime.
Go watch it.
So, the Batman. This is essentially a brand new take on the classic comic book character. We got Robert Pattinson, who's taking on the title role. And it's directed and co-written by Matt Reeves, who's known for Cloverfield and some of the Planet of the Apes sequels. Of course, Matt Reeves, he's not the first filmmaker to take a crack at this character, and he certainly won't be the last. Most famously, we got guys like Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan. They've put their stamp on the character, and those movies really helped define how he's portrayed on the big screen.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Batman?
Yeah, I like my favorite is The Dark Knight.
Sure, with Heath Ledger as a Joker.
Oh, yeah. He was so good in that. I mean, he just made it.
Yeah. I mean, that was an Oscar-winning film.
It still plays. Like, it still plays today. Like, it
got people to really take superhero movies seriously. And, yeah, I mean, Christopher Nolan did a great job on that film. You know, his whole Batman trilogy really is pretty entertaining from start to finish.
Well, yeah, it's one of the best. I mean, you know, but yeah. I'm one of the rare few that also likes the George Clooney Batman.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the most beloved of the group.
It's not, but it is the corniest, which is kind of what I love. The Batman movies have gotten more serious and not as lighthearted. I mean, there's like no jokes.
Well, yeah, really, since the Tim Burton movies, they've always been criticized as being too dark because they appeal to kids. And so, yeah, parents definitely got freaked out by Batman Returns. I mean, that's where you got Danny DeVito biting the nose off of a guy.
Yeah. Catwoman's. That was...
I remember my mom shit her pants. She was like, no more PG-13 movies for a while. And, but yeah, for me, like my favorite, it's still Michael Keaton. For me, he's still the best. I like Christian Bale a lot, but Michael Keaton, his portrayal as, you know, both sides, Batman and Bruce Wayne, it's just... He gives it these kind of unhinged, quirky touches that other Batmans, they play a little more, you know, straight-laced, a little more narrow. There's just unpredictable choices he makes as an actor that I love. I still love it.
Notice we both didn't say the Ben Affleck Batman.
Well, I'll tell you after this Batman, oh, yeah. I'm kind of, but no, you bring up Ben Affleck, and I mean, that's a good segue to a little backstory on this project. This was originally going to star Ben Affleck, and he was also going to direct.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, because you had Batman v Superman and then Justice League, and then that was going to lead into his own standalone Batman movie, and they were pretty far into development on that. They had a script. And at some point, Ben Affleck, he stepped aside as director, but he stayed on as actor.
Yeah.
And that's when Matt Reeves came in. And then at some point, as we all know, Ben Affleck, he just kind of lost interest in the character completely.
Well, I think he was going off the deep end as far as his sobriety. I mean, honestly, and I think he started taking that.
I think Justice League was a difficult experience for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I give him props for recognizing, like, my heart's not in this.
Yeah.
I don't want to phone this in. So it's better off being in the hands of someone else who really has the passion for it. And so after that, Matt Reeves, he essentially did a page one rewrite. He kind of tossed out Affleck's script and reworked the entire story from the ground up.
I'm curious as to why Matt Reeves thought that Robert Pattinson was the one. Like, I feel like that's such a weird...
Robert Pattinson, he's not the same actor coming off of Twilight.
No, I get it.
He's had a whole decade of very offbeat, interesting choices.
No, I understand, but...
Yeah. Choices, I think that's why. That's
choices
why.
That led him to play Batman. Like, I never saw him as a superhero.
I gotta say, Michael Keaton got the same criticism. When he was cast as Batman, it's like, really, Mr. Mom? Are you kidding me? So it's...
Yeah,
it's,
but Michael Keaton actually pulled it off. Robert Pattinson did not.
We'll talk about that.
I mean,
I think it's really a question of, like, what does the director see in a specific actor? We know that Tim Burton and Michael Keaton, they had a certain chemistry and a connection. So Tim Burton knew that Michael Keaton could pull it off. And, you know, for whatever reason, the final choice came down to Robert Pattinson and Nicholas Holt. And Robert Pattinson won out. They wanted to go younger, clearly, after Ben Affleck.
I get that, but dang. Like...
Yeah.
That's the best they can do. Probably a lot of the actors. Would it be weird if it was a black Batman?
It wouldn't be weird for me. I think there are some Bat fans who would shit their pants.
Yeah.
In their mom's basement. No, I mean, that should totally be on the table. It's always been white guys.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, it needs something fresh outside of being younger.
I agree. This character definitely needs some kind refresher.
It needs a refresh.
Kind of refresher.
It needs a reset button, and I'm kind of tired of the same old villains. Like, so tired of Joker. Like, I am so tired of the Riddler. Like, come on. Get me somebody else. I mean, obviously, those characters are fun.
They're going with the most famous, the most well-known. And yeah, it's played out.
It's played out.
We should say at the top, we're not Batman comic readers.
We're not.
Not at all.
We are not, like, you
I've
know, hardcore
films.
Fans.
I've seen all the films. And I mean, I grew up with those Tim Burton films. And I mean, as a kid, I was obsessed with Batman in those films. And yeah, Christopher Nolan's movies, really into those.
Like, I would love Catwoman to be the villain. And then Batman and Catwoman just go back and forth. Because every time Catwoman gets introduced, she is villainess. But she always has a heart of gold at the end of the day.
What I would like to see is a standalone Catwoman movie. But if you're not going to make it R-rated.
Yeah.
And have it filled with sex and kink and all of that, there's no point.
What kind of kink are you talking about?
I mean, she dresses up in all leather.
Like the whip?
She's got a bull whip. just how would she and Batman fuck? There would be some kink involved, right? I mean, they're both dressed in leather and rubber. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't give me a PG-13. I mean, give me an R. And this movie's rating, PG-13 rating, I think is a problem. I mean... I don't know why we can't get a standalone R-rated Batman movie. This movie feels like it wants to be R.
Wasn't Christopher Nolan's?
No, those are PG-13.
Those are PG-13.
I mean, they definitely pushed the edge.
Push it.
But we had an R-rated Logan, you know, Wolverine.
Yeah.
He went R-rated Joker. He went R-rated.
Deadpool.
Why can't we do an R-rated Batman?
Yeah, I'm ready for some R-rated.
Mix it up, we've had Lego Batman.
Yeah.
We've had Joel Schumacher's candy color Batman. We've had brooding Batman. This movie wants to be R-rated, but it pulls its punches. I mean, I know, like, kids love Batman, you know, and then kids can't see it, whatever. We're trending in that direction. Just make it R-rated from the beginning. Just embrace it. We're going to go R-rated. This is what we're going to do.
I mean, the kids are going to watch it anyways. I mean,
The kids are going to be fine. Whether they watch it or not, they're going to be fine.
And for what's going on right now in the world, having an R-rated Batman is, like, the least of people's problems and worries.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Warner Brothers, they didn't even want Penguin smoking on a cigar because that would be promoting tobacco use, and they had to make it safe for kids, even though this movie is drenched in murder and terror.
I mean, murder, terror.
It's about a serial killer. So, I mean, give the Penguin his cigar. Who cares?
Penguin should have been a little bit more disfigured, in my opinion. Like, maybe a little bit more of a cleft on the lip. I mean, I don't know.
I have issues with the Penguin character, but let's start at the beginning. I mean, the broad outline of this story, it involves the Riddler, played by Paul Dano, who's killing Gotham City elites and leaving clues for Batman, kind of taunting him. He's threatening to blow the lid off of corruption in the city.
They're elites, but they're like corrupt and he's trying to
expose corruption.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the main through line of the narrative. But we also get supporting characters like Selina Kyle, played by Zoe Kravitz, and Commissioner Gordon, played by Jeffrey Wright, and Oswald Cobblepot, played by an unrecognizable Colin Farrell.
He was so unrecognizable.
I mean, good makeup. It feels like he's, like, his performance, his character, it belongs in a Dick Tracy movie. Like, this ultra-serious Batman that Matt Reeves is trying to pull off, I feel like Colin Farrell's performance for me just stood out kind of awkwardly. Because he's, like, no one is as broad and over the top as Colin Farrell in this.
And
he's having fun.
Well, and let's be real, like, he's not really villainous. Like, he plays kind of like a middleman.
I'm not even sure, like what point his character, both he and Selina Kyle, they barely serve the main story.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are like tenuous connections that are made, but like for the purpose of where this story's focus really is, they're extraneous.
Well, and I think Colin's character, Copperpot, I mean, I really think they...
Cobblepot.
They underutilized him. I mean, he really didn't need to be in the movie.
Not at all.
His character was...
Other than to just say, hey, the Penguin's in this.
Yeah.
And here he is on the poster.
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
I wish this movie, it focused more narrowly on Batman hunting the Riddler. I feel like there is a cool movie in there somewhere, but it's got to be just kind of singularly focused on that. But instead, this movie, it kind of like fans out in multiple directions, and it becomes this sprawling, convoluted crime story.
It's very psychological. Like, he's very reclusive. I mean, Bruce Wayne actually goes to charity events. Like, he's in the public eye. Like, he's
not this Bruce Wayne.
Not this Bruce Wayne. Nope. I mean, if you see Bruce Wayne in public, it's like, who the hell is he?
The glimpses we get of him as Bruce Wayne, this is just a man dedicated to being Batman. Like, there's Bruce Wayne here. He's Batman.
Yeah.
Like, 24/7, yeah. Really.
He's vengeance.
It's a weird thing to complain about because I go to a Batman movie, I want to see Batman as Batman, but the duality is what makes it interesting.
The duality is what makes Batman Batman, though. Like, it is...
You need to see that other side of him.
You do. I mean, I think that's what makes Spider-Man and Iron Man. I mean, like, all of the Marvel characters, you kind of know a little bit about the personal life. I would have kind of liked to see Batman and Catwoman get it on.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. If you're not going to show them fuck, what are we doing?
But you don't need to show them. I mean, you can just...
Imply. Have them fuck.
Yeah. Have them, like, imply it. I thought that's what was going to happen.
Or show it. Either way.
Disney did it with Eternals. So, I mean, so let's stop.
This movie is weirdly sexless.
Yeah.
For a movie that really is, like, posing as really edgy and intelligent and serious... It's just, it's sexless, it's bloodless, it pulls all
the
punches.
There is no blood. Yeah, you're right. It's interesting.
It's, yeah, that's a word. So this movie opens with the Riddler assassinating a mayoral candidate. And kind of right after, we introduce Robert Pattinson's Batman, who's giving this sort of noirish voiceover in these opening scenes. And right off the bat, we get a pretty cool fight scene.
Yeah.
Between Batman and a gang wearing clown makeup. And it's in, like, the pouring rain, and Batman is just kind of beating the shit out of everyone. And the choreography is good. It's a pretty cool scene. And for me, like, that was the highlight of the entire film.
It is right at the beginning.
And we're barely 10 minutes into this.
Oh, and that's another complaint that I have. I mean, it's a 3-hour-long movie.
The longest Batman movie ever.
Hours.
The longest Batman movie ever. I mean, Christopher Nolan, all of his movies are long. But he worked his way up to that third one, which was pushing like 2 hours, 45 minutes. Matt Reeves, his first time at bat. Longest Batman movie ever.
And
it takes some balls.
Like, well, yeah.
I wish there was a plot to sustain it.
And honestly, like, just my mindset going into this movie. I mean, I work in all day. And then, you know,
we were watching this at the end of a long day.
We were watching this at the end of a long day.
And this movie took up our entire fucking night.
It did.
7 to 10. Bam. Gone to this movie. Thanks, Matt Reeves. Appreciate it. But, okay, so yeah, you know, the Riddler is killing people. And the Riddler is clearly modeled after the Zodiac.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a cool idea. There's a lot of stuff in this movie that on paper is really cool. I like the idea of a noirish detective focused Batman. On paper, that sounds really cool. But this movie is 3 hours of Batman looking at files and photographs. Fans have been complaining about that for so long. Like, we want to see Batman as a detective because he's the world's greatest detective. And we've gotten little bits of that previous films, but not to any great extent.
They did bring a little bit of that in here. I mean, Batman was called to a lot of scenes, a lot of crime scenes.
That's what I'm saying. The whole movie is him being a detective. So, like, fans, that's what fans wanted. And Matt Reeves definitely delivered that. Here's Batman as a detective. Yeah. He's looking through boxes. He's looking at files. Robert Pattinson. See, you weren't a fan of Robert Pattinson.
No.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't think it was terrible.
I thought he was okay. Like, he's not Batman.
I thought he was okay in costume. I thought it was his Bruce Wayne was lacking. That's what his Bruce Wayne made no impression.
No.
In the costume and when he's beating the shit out of clowns, I was okay with it. I thought he made a solid Batman in costume.
Yeah.
I
agree with that. I agree with that statement. And maybe that's why I'm just like, ugh. Because, you know, Bruce Wayne is suave. Like, he is...
Well, that's how he's been depicted. Yeah, I mean, you can do your own interpretation of it. But yeah, he's hosting cocktail parties. He's dating women.
He's a billionaire. Yeah,
He plays up the socialite aspect. I mean, even in the ultra-serious Ben Affleck version, he's still going out to parties. He still has a social life. He has a sex life. This Batman doesn't.
He's just really reclusive.
He's Batman. Like that. Yeah. He's vengeance. And that, he's like, vengeance. That is it.
And he's trying to avenge his parents and trying to find out what happened to his parents. I mean, obviously.
Isn't he always?
It's what happens in every movie.
Isn't he always? Oh, yeah. And I mean, we talked a little bit about Selina Kyle, but how did you feel about Zoe Kravitz?
I liked her. I really liked her as Catwoman. I thought she did a very, very good job. She looked the part.
I'd say she's undoubtedly giving the best performance.
She's the best thing in this movie.
Yeah. Even though I felt by the end unsatisfied.
Well, she was underutilized.
Yeah. Their whole dynamic, just it doesn't pay off in any kind of rewarding way. They have like a little, you know, a little bit of a back and forth, a little bit of a playful banter that just doesn't, it just doesn't satisfy. It doesn't pay off the way you want it to.
No, I mean.
By them fucking.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. Not really.
Yeah, no, you're not.
But Zoe Kravitz, she's well cast.
They definitely underutilized her. I thought she could have made the movie better.
There's a couple areas where this movie does surpass Christopher Nolan's, and that one is in the Catwoman. Zoe Kravitz, better Catwoman than Anne Hathaway.
Agreed.
For sure. And in the fight choreography. The fight choreography in the Christopher Nolan movies was not great. It was shot really close up, kind of shaky cam. The choreography wasn't great. Here, the fight choreography is, I thought, really strong. And for like the first 30 minutes, Batman's beating the shit out of a whole ton of folks.
Yeah.
So initially, I'm thinking like, so far, so good in those first 30 minutes. But we still got another 2.5 hours.
Seriously. Seriously.
And it's filled just with Batman pursuing the Riddler and just investigating the clues. And I mean, there's a Batmobile chase at one point, which is all shot in close up for some reason. It's all just like shots of tires and faces.
Well, let's get into spoilers and let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into spoilers for the Batman. We're back and we're going to get into some spoilers for the Batman. And gosh. There is a Batmobile chase, but it doesn't really lead to anything.
He's
pursuing the Penguin. He thinks Penguin is an informant, but it turns out he's not.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the deal?
Yeah, he turns out that he's not the rat.
But we get like a 10-minute Batmobile chase where you can't see shit.
The whole like thing and like all the riddles and all of that, the riddles are pointing out to different corrupt people. And then you have one riddle that is like a rat on wings or like a bat on wings or something. And it was Falcone. We find out that Falcone is the informant.
Carmine Falcone, played by John Turturro.
Yeah.
I mean, I love John Turturro, but...
He's good. I mean,
Tom Wilkinson in Batman Begins played the same character, much more menacing. I hate, you know, sorry.
I agree.
I mean, whatever. But yeah, John Turturro, he's doing his best with what he's got.
I keep thinking of him playing in Transformers, right? Like, that's the character that I keep going back to.
His greatest role. Clearly. I mean, forget all the Coen brothers movies he's made.
No.
His role in Transformers. Yeah. Yeah. Agent Simmons.
Yes.
What a great character. Classic. Oh.
So Selina, she finds out that, well, she knows that Falcone is her dad, and there was a good fight scene.
Yeah. She wants to kill him.
Yes.
And then I forget what happens. She doesn't. He gets away.
Yeah.
She's fighting with her dad. She wants to kill him, but he ends up getting away somehow. But he does die at the end. The Riddler shoots him.
The Riddler shoots him. And one of the things he asked the Batman to do was bring the corrupt person into the light. And so that's what Batman does. They bring him into the light and bam!
He gets shot.
And the Riddler thought that the Batman and him were like partners.
Well, yeah, we find out that the Riddler, he was an orphan.
Yeah.
And he stayed at an orphanage that was owned by Bruce Wayne's parents. And because of this, Riddler held a grudge against the Wayne family.
Yeah. Well,
and that's why he's targeting Batman.
Well, the orphanage shut down or lost funding, or people took advantage of the nonprofit funds and were causing mayhem. And I mean, everybody wanted a piece of the pie.
And the big secret that the Riddler is going to blow the roof on is that Thomas Wayne hired Carmine Falcone to kill a journalist who's going to report on Martha Wayne's mental illness?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool reveal. I mean, in previous films, we don't get much on Martha Wayne.
We don't, no.
So, I mean, there's... cool.
That would be interesting.
What, like Batman's backstory?
Well, yeah. Like
upbringing as a kid. Didn't that show Gotham do that shit? Wasn't there a Gotham show? I don't know what it was.
Actually. And it was actually pretty good.
Okay. I don't know. So yeah, that's the big reveal of the movie. And, you know, Riddler, he's arrested, but he's put car bombs around the city.
Yeah, he puts bombs all around the seawall.
And then so like the bombs go off and then the whole city gets flooded.
Big time flooded. And
kind of a cool moment.
Yeah. His right. And then his followers.
Well, brother, he's amassed this cult of followers because he live streams his murders.
Yeah.
Topical.
But he only has like 700 followers. Like, it's not like thousands upon thousands.
A lot of views, though.
Followers. You know, because our lives revolve around who follows us.
But those followers are motivated, right? You just need a couple good ones to storm the Capitol.
Well, they didn't storm the Capitol in this one. They stormed, you know, an auditorium and they... Just
like a few good patriots.
Yeah. And then they went up into the rafters and just had guns and they were just waiting for the right time and they started just shooting people.
And this is the big action climax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that all that happens.
And then at the end, once his plan gets foiled, he is in a jail cell next to what's soon to be, I guess, the next Joker.
He's in a jail cell next to some guy. We can't really see his face. It's obscured by prison bars. But he's just giggling like an annoying lunatic. And I think that person is played by Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're setting him up as the next Joker. And
I mean, okay.
So we have that.
Oh my goodness. Oh yay, I'm so excited.
Well, let me ask you, what did you think of Paul Dano's performance? Because he's playing it real twisted.
I like him as an actor.
Sure.
But what about his, what about this?
I'm not a fan.
I hated this character. This character was not scary. This character was annoying. When he wasn't annoying, he was laughable.
Yeah.
His performance.
He's annoying.
Really annoying. Really, really annoying. Like, you just want to slap him.
Yeah.
He's doing the same shit that the Joker was doing in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Joker was really raising the stakes. The Joker was, like, bombing hospitals. And the Joker's shit was genuinely unnerving. And, I mean, that's due to the writing and the performance. And it is, this is a pale, terrible imitation of that, I thought. And, yeah, there's a certain parallels. Like, in The Dark Knight, the Joker kind of live streams a murder.
Yeah.
And it's really disturbing.
It's disturbing.
It's disturbing. Like, the way he's laughing, it's scary. And Paul Dano, he's trying to go for it, and he's not hitting it. The script isn't helping him much. it's not working. But yeah, he
you did not like him.
I did not like
this character.
Like, this character was not scary.
No,
this character is.
No, I get it.
A good Batman villain should be scary.
Yeah.
So so he's still alive by the end of the film, right?
Yes.
So could get more
sequel.
And yeah, like, and kind of like the final moments, Batman and Catwoman, they're on motorcycles and they kind of like drive off in separate directions. Not a bad moment.
It's not a bad moment.
Just, yeah, just like a silent moment. The score is kind of swelling up. I mean, decent way to kind of close it out. I wish I understood their bond. Like, why is she even helping
him? I know.
Like, there is a dumb reason, but it's just really poorly motivated as to why she even gets roped into this. And I didn't like the fact that for a certain stretch of the film, he's kind of using her as bait and she's allowing it.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, robs her character of some agency.
It does,
you
know?
But Zoe Kravitz is still nailing it.
Yeah. Agreed.
But yeah, 100%. My take on this is that you whittle this down to 100 minutes, make it R-rated.
Yeah.
I'm on board. I can roll with it for 100 minutes. I can't roll with this. I can't sanction this buffoonery
you
for 3 hours.
You can't sanction this buffoonery. Oh, gosh. Awesome.
Yikes. Yeah.
But what is the Rotten Tomatoes score on this?
It's 85%.
Uh-huh.
It was 90. It keeps kind of like ticking,
going down,
ticking down each time I look at it. But yeah, currently it's 85. I mean, here's the truth. Bat fans, they are hardcore. They're really protective of this character. And each Batman movie has to be a total fucking masterpiece or else they're going to kill someone.
I know.
They're really intense and a little scary. And I mean, our crowd, like you and I looked like we wanted to kill ourselves while watching this. But like, the crowd around us was cheering.
They cheered. People are clapping.
There's a scene where we see Batman like kind of glide, and it's really just him like kind of wingsuiting down, and he crash lands. And that got a big applause.
I can't.
The crowd.
I can't. Like, I don't understand.
They applauded at the end. Maybe they were happy it was over. I couldn't wait to leave.
I mean, we rushed the heck out of there. Yeah. That's for sure.
So, yeah, it's, and that's kind of the movie.
What did you think? Did you think it was a good date movie?
Not on your life.
Yeah, me neither.
not even a little bit.
I think every 30 minutes I was looking at my watch and then I was giving you the death stare. It's like, why?
I apologize.
You did apologize.
I'm sorry for taking you to this. And you're like, you owe me. So that's how our date was.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, if you and your date are Bat fans, you're going to see this regardless, but no, like for like a casual, like, no, don't see Dog with Channing Tatum.
Oh, that was such a great movie.
I mean, but yeah, better than this, shorter.
Oh yeah.
So what grade would you give it?
Oh God. D.
Mm. Yeah. I'm tempted to give it a D. I'm going to give it a C-. Cause like moments of it photographically looked really good.
And I'm only giving it a D because of Zoe Kravitz. I mean,
other than that, it's an F.
Oh yeah.
It's a hard F.
It's not a movie I would watch again.
For me, it's not a total disaster because the fight choreography is good. It's nice to see a well-cast Catwoman. Some of the photography is really strong, even though the aesthetic never wavers or modifies.
Yeah.
It's just the same kind of gray, black palette. But at times, it's striking. And you know, like I said, like that early scene where he's pounding the shit out of these clowns in the pouring rain, like it's night, it's rain, it's gloomy. The atmosphere is working in that scene. So it's a frustrating film. And I guess that's all there is to say.
Yep.
That's The Batman, directed by Matt Reeves. You can find more episodes at anchor.fm/moviedatenight, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review. Don't forget to check out our feature film, Tiny Dancers, which is streaming right now on Prime Video. We're on Twitter at DN Movie Podcast, and you can also email us at datenightmoviepodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Patrick.
I'm Ashley.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.